So what we've been discussing the last couple of weeks is whether or not Orma Mazik is fundamentally different than Nizke Mamon. This comes up again and again, but obviously it's connected to whether Mave means Adam and is in the Mishnah, whether the Rambam's decision to classify the dinim of Orma Mazik in Hilchos Chovel instead of in Hilchos Nizke Mamon. These are symptoms, but the real issue, of course, is whether or not the direct actions of without any kind of, in other words, intervening forces of the Adam, of the person who is both competent, responsible, has a bank account, whether that fundamentally distinguishes his hezek from that of his animal, his boar, his eish, etc., where there's always an additional step removed. So what we've seen is that on the one hand, just to simplify things, the language of the Mishnah and then the Gemaras that immediately follow it, Adam Muad Leolam, Chavav Amud Aleph, and then again, the Gemara in Chavav Amud Beis, Mishnah says, Adam Muad Leolam, Afilu Er, Afilu Yashen, Afilu Shogeg, Afilu Mezid. But then the Gemara says even more, Afilu Ones, and then, has a case of Misasek, Eben Munach Abcheko, and the guy stands up. Then they have even more, maybe more, on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, he's Nafal Beruach She'ena Mitzuya. So that looks like, a serious onus, looks like it. So you have on the one hand a whole series of Makoros and language, which leads you to conclude that maybe there are no exceptions, no qualifications to other Muad Leolam, or if there are, they're very limited and probably need some sort of an explanation. But in the end of the day, that the bigger idea is that if physically he is directly involved in causing damage, then he should be chayiv for that. We should hold him accountable for his physical actions, as opposed to, in other words, any nizke mamon where there are understandable limitations. Maybe the chiddush in nizke mamon is that there's a chayiv to begin with. If he was, an ones gamur because he was shomer kiroi, and still a calamity of some sort took place, the idea that he would be exempt is not so difficult for us to fathom, right? But in Orma Mazik, the burden of evidence maybe is in the other direction, because he did it. He did it. He did it with his own hands, or the own force of his person, and so on. On the other hand, there is also evidence that there are cases where, notwithstanding his actual direct involvement in the Hezek, where he is potter, where he's not held accountable. Right? And that's, those are the cases that we discussed. The Yerushalmi, depends, if he fell asleep and there was something there, or something was placed there after he fell asleep. The Gemara's in the beginning, the Gemara's in the beginning of on Chav Zayin, the beginning of Aminiach, right, when the Gemara talks about whether he's chayivli is bonim bedrachim, if he takes a sharp turn and there's something there, but he had no way of anticipating it, be'afei lashanu, all of those gemaras, and then uman tabach, and shomer shehivir mi zavis lazavis. There are a bunch of gemaras in which he is putter, and the question is what to do with that. So what we saw is that the Bali Tosfos take the view that Adam Muad Leolam is very limited. For them, it only means that in order to be chayiv for Orma Mazik, you don't need to be a posheya. If you're also in the category, let's say, the equivalent level of responsibility of abeda, let's say, you'll also be chayiv, even though that's not considered to be posheya. But that's karov le posheya, you'll be chayiv for that. But even if it's karov, even if it's in the blueprint of Geneva, which is Karov L'Ones, not even Ones Gamor, you will be Patur, and Ones Gamor Kol Shekein, and that's how the Bali Tosfos kind of navigate through the evidence. They have to assume that cases like Ruach She'ena Metzuya is not as forceful as it sounds. I mean, it's a Ruach that's not Metzuya, but it doesn't mean that it's a hurricane or a twister. Okay, so that's the view of the Bali Tosfos. That's very important. the Ramban. And the Rambam, as we saw, disagree. They assume that the default is Adam Ruah Leolam, that it applies even Ba'onas Gamor, that Ruach She'ena Mitsuya is meant seriously, it means a hurricane. What do they do with the contrary evidence? As we discussed, they probably understand that those cases, one of two things, or maybe it's the same thing, but maybe not. That is, either it's the self-victimization of the Nizak, meaning who told him to put his expensive, you know, goods near a sleeping man, or who told him to sleep near a sleeping man, right? So he did it to himself. That's one approach. Or, for example, the guy who was walking with his chavis and he stopped short, and then the guy with the korah behind him, you know, smashed into and destroyed his chavis. So the point is, instead of saying, oh, that's a case where, you know, he's potter because, you know, there's onus gamur, I mean the second guy, the Ramban, and the Rambam probably think that the reason that he's potter is because he did it to himself by stopping short. So that's the point. Now again, is that a ptur for the other fellow that that the Nizak victimized himself? Or is that a way of saying that there was no Maisa Hezek? There are different ways to explain it, but that's basically what it is. The Ramban adds that an Uman Tabach, Shekilkel, is not relevant here at all, because he's not a Mazik, he's a worker. So that's a Chinish, but the idea behind it, as we explained, is that typically we think that somebody with a special relationship, especially a relationship built on obligations, or also obligations, is more chomor than a party who has no relationship, you know, whatsoever, formal relationship. But what the Ramban is telling us very profoundly is that when somebody is a worker and he's a professional, so then the whole way that we look at whatever he does is different. L'kulam l'chumra, often. Not always. I mean, obviously, there are things he can do that put him in a regular category. But when it comes to a mistake that leads to nezek, the point is we don't look at that as mazik. We look at that as a work-related or professionally connected, you know, problem and issue. So it comes under the contractual element of it. That's Ramban. And then last week we saw that the Rambam very similarly also holds Adam Buad Leolam in this very extreme way, mostly denies any exceptions. There were three exceptions in the Rambam. I'm going to get back to them. Maybe I'll do them right now, actually. One exception is the case where the fellow is climbing up a ladder and the rung, you know, which seems to be perfectly, you know, at least from his point of view, is perfectly well maintained. And nonetheless, the termites come unbeknownst to him, or some other inexplicable force, you know, is at work. And whatever it is, the rung, you know, ends up causing damage, right? Or probably if he causes damage, it might be the same thing. But the point is, the Rambam says in that case that you're a patur, because it is mako bidei shamai. That's the expression that he uses. And the Ravid says, I don't understand what he's talking about. What happened to Adam Ruah Leolam? Okay. So what I was trying to explain last week is that the Rambam uses this expression also in the context of Eish, in the beginning of Perek Yudalet, like Perek Yudalet Hilchos Nizkei Mamon Halacha Beis. Actually, if we have that for a second, but I have to quote something from Nizkei Mamon since I brought the other Rambam. It would be Loeg L'Rash, you know, kind of to leave this volume out.
Make sure I don't fall.
What's that?
Make sure I don't fall.
No, I understand. Well, that too. See, I'm worried about your self-image, and you're worried about your balance. But okay. Hidlik betok reshuso. If a person lights, we're going to discuss this topic next, ignites a fire in his reshus. Tzorek l'harchik misof ha-meitzar. He has to distance himself from the border. Kadesh lo tavra adleika l'sadeh chaver. The kama shir arachaka. How far is the distance? Hakol afi gava shel dleika. Okay. V'im lo hirchik kira'ui, if he didn't to distance himself sufficiently, v'avra ha'esh v'zika, and the fire causes damage, chayav l'shali nezik shalom. Hirchik kira'ui, but let's say he did take the proper precautions and distance himself. You know, he read all the fire codes and, he spoke to the fire marshal and so on and so forth. He's really like an excellent, you know, citizen in every way. So the Avra v'Zika, and yet he literally got burned, right? So the halacha is patur, but the other guy got burned. Patur shezu maka bidei shamayim. I think it's very fascinating that we are using the same phrase. So there, of course, it's not Adam Mu'ad Yolam, but it might be Eish and Eishem Shemchitzav, as we'll talk, which might be close to that. But the bigger idea here is that I believe when the Rambam uses the expression Makam Bidei Shemayim, he's not just suggesting a Ptur Onus. The Rambam knows how to say Onus Rachmana Patre, or Naru L'Sasadav. He says it, you know, in Yad HaChazaka many, many times. Even in the context of Bor, which I don't think the Rambam meant a Ptur Onus, he used the expression, at least, of Onesu. But this is Perikid base. But the point is, then in the Rambam, that there are certain things that just happen. Meaning Nezek occurred, right? But I didn't do it. I did the action that caused a Nezek, but it's not called Nezek. So Maka Bidei Shamayim, it's an act of God. I'm just the agent of the Hashgacha. Now again, how do you know when to apply that idea and when to differentiate it from onus? One man's Maka Bidei Shamayim might be another man's onus. Right? So, say again?
Is the case of
Well, because in Ruach Sheni Mitzuyah, you did go on the Gag.
Right. No, but so, is the Rambam's each case of Ruach Mitzuyah, so you don't know?
You mean the one I just read?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Ruach Mitzuyah.
Ruach Mitzuyah.
Presumably, yeah. But just the guy did Harchak, so. But anyway, so the point that I'm trying to make is that just like the Ramban was saying, that a professional is not a mazik, you know, even though it all goes bad. So too, the Rambam is saying there are cases which are not defined as mazik, even though it's his physical action that ends up causing hefsed mamon and nezek. Okay, but his use of makom b'dei shamayim is his way of getting out of this. Similarly, the Rambam has two other things. So one of them I was discussing last week, and that is the sugya on. You have to look at the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph and the Gemara Mem Ches Amud Aleph Mem Ches Amud Beis. We saw it last time, but we'll look at it just very quickly for a second. Where the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph seems to say that there are cases where people damage each other. Here, Shnayim Shoyim Mahalkim Berushas Arabim Echad Ratz V'Echad Mahalech Oshneim Ratzim V'Ziku Zeh. They bang into each other and they damage each other. So the halacha is shneim peturim. Okay, that's an interesting case. So what happened to Adam Mu'ad Le'olam? Right? So, now if you look at Mem Ches Amud Aleph, so the Gemara here says, Amarava Vitemara Papa, right, Shnehem Birshus, so Shnehem Shalom Birshus, two people who are in a place where they both have permission to be there, or neither has permission to be there, right? So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, Hiziku Zeh Zeh Chayavim, Huzku Zeh Bazeh Pturim. Right, if they actively cause damage each other, accidentally, right, then they're Chayavim. Huzku Zeh Bazeh, If they are damaged by virtue of the presence of the other one, meaning passively, they trip over the other person, whatever it is, in a passive way, then they're pturim zebazeh. So if you look at Rashi here on Mem Chesam Adbei says the following. Chayavin, Dibinizokin, Lo Shonilon Bein Miskavin, Lashen Miskavin. I mean, when it comes to Dinei Mazik, Adam Mu'ad Le'olam, right? So it doesn't matter whether he intends it or not. But it's not B'Meiniach, what we just read. Shnayim Shem B'Hakam B'Shutz Rab B'Ziku Zeh Zeh P'turim Ha'hu Heziku Huzkuhu V'Lodok P'lishne. Wow. Rashi points out this seems to be a stira. So he suggests that we reread the Mishnah, that the Mishnah didn't mean hiziku zeh zeh. It meant huzku zeh bazeh. Okay? Each one, you know, was damaged by the presence of the other, but passively, not actively. Now, according to Rashi, hiziku zeh zeh is always chayiv. Huzku zeh bazeh, if shneim brishus, or shneim shelo brishus, as long as they're on the same, as long as they're on equal footing, in other words, in a level playing field, that would be sufficient. That's proper. But if you look at the Rambam, so it's a little more complicated than that. So look at the Rambam here for a minute, just in Perek Aleph, was it Halacha Tezayin? The other Rambam talks about somebody invading somebody else's property. We already, that's the Mem Chesam and Aleph, actually. Hamazik es chaver b'chavana afil nichnas ushus chavero. Wait a second. This is on page 3. Yeah. Page 3, line 27. Hamazik es chaver b'chavana b'chol makom chayev b'chamisha dvarim. If a person inflicts damage intentionally, he is always going to be chayev. And not just chayev, but chayev even for chabala. Even if a person enters into someone else's domain illegally, right? He's not a threat. He's not a thief. He's not a Baba Machteres. He just doesn't have permission to be there. Right? You still have no right to intentionally inflict damage upon him. This is basically what the Gemara says. Even though he has every right to evict him, ain lo reshus la aziko. He doesn't have any right to attack him, to damage him. Okay. Abal im huzak zeh shenichnas bebalabayis, or bebalabayis pater. On the other hand, if it's passive, namely he trips on the balabayis, he trips on things in the reshus, you know, so then the balabayis is pater. Bim huzak bo balabayis, and if the balabayis ends up passively becoming damaged, right, by virtue of the presence of this squatter, this uninvited guest, right? Then he, the uninvited guest, is chayev shenichnas shelo brishus. But how yishneim brishus hashem shelo brishus behuzku zeh bazeh shneim pturim. If they're both on equal footing and they damaged each other, right, then they are both potter. What's not told said here is what happens if hiziku zeh bazeh, when shnehem bershus or shnehem shelo bershus. Okay. The Magid Mishnah and others assume, Bosa Nosekeven, that number one, the Rambam holds like Bali Tosis, I'm not sure why they think that. It doesn't seem to be correct. And number two, that he holds like the Rashi that we just read on Mem Ches Amidal. But if you look at the Rambam in Perek Vav, say, turn to the next page. Just look for a minute just to demonstrate this. Magid Mishnah. Look at the Magid Mishnah on page 4, starting from line. Just look for line 6 for a minute. Hamazik chaver b'chavana afilu nichnas b'shus chaver memra mefureshes b'perek shor shenagach hasapara. Not memches. Okay, that's true. That's where we're getting it from. Of course, he doesn't mention anything about the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Okay. If you look here at line 12, after going through a little bit of the details, he says, V'Rashi Pirish, according to Rashi and Memches, that he's Memches on base, Hizika b'yadayim zeh zeh afilu shelo b'miskavim, chayev, z'mizika lo shoni lo b'miskavim l'sheni miskavim. This is the same Rashi. Right. Yodale doesn't mean, you know, is he aware of the person's presence? It means, did he intend to attack him? Not necessarily true in the Rambam, but that's how the reason that the Magid Mishnah reads it that way is because he's aligning the Rambam with Rashi and some of the other Rishonim. Bojus bar b'perek vav. Mash amar huzak zeh zeh p'turim, right? Diktiku she'onsin gemurim p'turim, bahen af b'nezikim. Okay. Meaning, if you have an onus gamor, who's kuzeba zez potor, because it's not true that Adam is mu'li olam. There is actually exceptions to that rule, but onus gamor. Okay, that's how he's reading the Rambam. And if you look earlier, one second, this is page 4. Look back to page 3 for a second. You'll see that see the Magid the number 31? Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Beis, earlier Magid Mishnah. Says Misha Nafal Min Agag Baruch Metzuya, as we know. Dash Shlosha Chalakim Heim. There are three scenarios. Kozman Shesh B'davar Pshia Gemura, when you have complete negligence, the Zeruach Mitsuya, Avahusha Lo B'Kavam, even if he didn't have intention, Chai B'daladvar Rupatim Min Aboshas. Lo Yasham Pshia, there was no negligence, V'gam Ken Onasa Onas Gamor, but there wasn't Onas Gamor either. Chai V'al Nezek Rupatim Min Ashar, Zeruach Sheinim Mitsuya. Ruach Sheinim Mitsuya is Pshia, but not Onas Gamor. Right? That's not the way the Ramban read Ruach Sheinim Mitsuya, but the Magid Mishnah is projecting this on the Rambam. But Onas Gamor Kosvu HaMefarshim, he's a little bit careful. You know, because he knows the Rambam doesn't say this, but he's kind of, why is he mentioning this on his Perush on the Rambam? Because he's trying to integrate this into the Rambam. Onas Gamor, let's assume, in other words, that the Rambam holds like the Mefarshim, Shehu Pator, V'chein Yizbar Lefaneinu, right, Bebava, Namazik is chaveiro, meaning the one I just read, Halacha Tezai. Okay? So basically what the Magid Mishnah did, and this is often what happens, I mean, this is how you have to be, so the Nosa came of the Rambam is an art form in its own right, you know, just to understand them and see what's going on in them. But the default, often, of the Magid Mishnah, even of the Kesef Mishnah, less so the Lechem Mishnah, is that, you know, whatever the Rambam says, probably the default is that it fits in with the other Rishon. So that's why the next, in the Halacha Tezayin, even though it doesn't say that in the Rambam at all, the Rambam's lo yada is lo iskaven, right? And he quotes the Rashi. Why is he quoting Rashi in the middle of his parish on the Rambam? Meaning probably Rashi holds, probably Rambam holds like Rashi, that there's a difference between Aziku and Huzku. Okay, great. Now, however, if you look at Perek Vav, Hilchos Chovel, first of all, we've demonstrated in the Rambam, the Rambam holds Odom Bu'ad Li'olam, Afila Bonas Gamor. The very fact that he quotes Odom Bu'ad Li'olam, the way that he quotes it, and he quotes Ones Kemezid, not just that Ones is Chayiv, but Ones is Kemezid, in Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, and the cases, notwithstanding the latter case, and what we're going to add to it in the moment, it's pretty clear that like the Ramban, later, the Rambam holds that Odom Bu'ad Li'olam is a very serious and a very important halacha. And again, this is totally consistent with the Rambam bringing Adam HaMazik into Hilchos Chovel HaMazik to begin with. Okay. Then you have Hoya Ola Basulam. I'm sorry, then you have Halacha Gimel. So Halacha Gimel is Bamedvar Mamurim, right? Rishus HaNizak. When, as you say, Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, Rishus HaNizak. Aval Rishus HaMazik, right? If somebody, in other words, enters into someone else's domain, Eino Chayv L'Shalem, Elam Hizik B'Zadon, Aval B'Shgoga O Ba'Ones, Patur, right? If you're in somebody else's domain, unless he does it intentionally, then he's Patur. V'Chein Amo Yishneim B'Rishus, or Shneim Shalom B'Rishus, okay, that's the Mishnah and the Gemara, Mishnah on Lam Gimel, the Gemara in Memchas. What is he going to do with that? Ima yishneim b'rishus or shneim shalom b'rishus. V'hizik echad mehem mamun chaver shalom b'chavana. Pator, what? Not huzak, hizik. Says the Ravid, Om Ravram din ze ena mechuvar. Ta'fil shneim b'rishus or shalom b'rishus. V'lo hava yada bay. Remember la yada bay? Right? Imeziku chayavin, avalim huska zebazeb turim. So the Ravid is basically saying what Rashi said. That there's a difference between a ziku. All the zikus are chayav, except for Bishus Hamazik, right, where you have no right to be there, when the guy doesn't know you're there, or he has no intention. Every other case, hiziku, as opposed to huzku, even if it's shneim brishus and shneim sheinim brishus, is going to be chayiv kazana mu'ad li'olam. The Ravid, who didn't even like the p'tur in the case of the sulam, of the of that's the next case, halacha dalid, on Rav Ramani Tema, Maishna Onazemi Ruah Shein Betsuya, Minayashin, meaning the Ravid is even goes even further than the Rama. And Adam Mu'ad li'olam. So here too he says Adam Mu'ad li'olam, anytime it's Hiziku, as long as it's not Brishus HaMazik, there's a difference between Hiziku and Huzku. But the Rambam doesn't hold that way. The Rambam thinks, unlike Rashi, and unlike the Ravid, that Brishus She'eno Shel Shneim, right, or Shneim Brishus, or Shneim She'enem Brishus, if it's Hiziku Ze'ezeh, not Hiziku style, Hiziku Ze'ezeh, and they smashed into each other, actively. So the Rambam, probably the Rambam just holds that that's not called Mazik. I mean, mazik is a function, in some cases, of where it happens, and whether people have a right to be there or not, but also whether, you know, how it happens. So if there was individual acts of hezek, we'd say, adam mu'ad li'olam. But when these two people are, you know, in a place where they're equally legal or equally illegal, and they're mazik each other, as opposed to, you know, they trip over each other, they're huzak each other, or huzak al yidei each other, I should say. So then the Rambam thinks, again, you might say, well, what's the difference? In the end of the day, what's the difference if Reuven damages Shimon $100 worth? End of story. Or Reuven and Shimon, in the same context, I don't know if it needs to be the same moment, in the same context and framework, you know, cause damage to each other. Presumably it's not a wash. Otherwise it wouldn't be Reuven inflicted $100 damage on Shimon, right? And Shimon inflicted a $50 damage on Reuven. Okay? So there's something to collect here. It's not a fuche mitarti lama. Okay? So but fine, good. So, but at the end of the day, then does it matter? I mean, is it different than Reuven hizik Shimon or Shimon hizik Reuven? What's the difference that, you know, that it happened all in the same framework? The answer is, for the Rambam, it matters. Meaning, that's not called Maisa Hezek. They both have equal legitimate reason either to be there or illegitimate reason, and they shouldn't be there, but equal, right? And we just don't look at it as a Maisa Hezek anymore.
Would it not be Kavona? Hiziku.
Hiziku, but to Shalom b'chavana. They damaged each other. They banged into each other.
It sounds like it's a wrestling match.
What?
It sounds like it's a wrestling
match. No. It's Shalom b'chavana. All these cases are Shalom b'chavana. The question is, does it matter that it's Shalom b'chavana? It's clear that it's Shalom b'chavana. Always, any hezek b'chavana, even Brishus HaMazik is chayiv. Even Brishus HaMazik. Even if the Mazik... if the mazik in his own rishus, right, is inflicts damage on the nizak, he's chayiv.
But it's one sided, because only the baal bayis is mazik the
intruder. No. He's chayiv even though it's his rishus. Here we're talking about shneim brishus or shneim sheinim brishus. It's his hiziku shelo b'chavona, but it's as opposed to huzku. But the Ravid thinks and Rashi thinks that in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because it's Adam Mu'ad li'olam. And the Rambam thinks this isn't Adam Mu'ad li'olam because it's Shelo b'chavana, and it's like this comedy routine. Maybe it's not so funny because they got damaged, but it's like, you know, one of those slapstick, you know. Yeah, sorry. You had a question?
I think my question that is.
What's that?
I think my question that is.
Oh, okay. Good. So, one other Rambam, just halacha hey. So halacha hey is also very interesting. But line 20, what?
We did dalit.
Dalit is a sulam, right? I'm just going out of order. I just try to show that gimel, dalit, hey are cases with the Rambam where you're potter, Right? Do we do the Dalet? Dalet is a Sulam.
Yeah.
The Imaka Bidei Shamayim. Harei, look at Halacha Hei. Harei, Shemila Chotzer Chaver Kade Yain V'Shemen. Remember the that's part of the Gemara on Chavzayin. Chavzayin with base. Right? Ay, boy le liune. What do you mean he damaged the other guy's property, you know, and he's potter? So the Gemara gave several explanations, right? A sharp turn at the corner, bafela shanu, and the other one is mile chotzer chave. He's mile, you know, milugu rather, bechavios. It's like it's very hard to move there without damaging something. Harisha mile chotzer chave kadayayin, the shemen, right? Afilu knisam bershus. Similar idea. He, even if he had permission, hovelo kibel ala balachotzer lishmar, right? Hareza nichnas v'yotze kedarko. Even if he gave him permission, but he didn't accept shmira, if he goes in and out, kedarko, the key word in my opinion there is kedarko, meaning he's not doing anything on you. He's living life in his own property. V'chol she yishtaber min akadim b'knisaso b'yitziyaso hareu patra aleim. He gave the other guy permission, even if he gave the other guy permission to do it. He still has a right to walk in and out of his own property. Just like we said before, right? The same thing is true with him, the same thing is true with his property. If the other guy put barrels in his property, and he said, you can't put barrels in my property, or he said that to himself, and he, you know, if he said to him, get him out, fine. But if he didn't, he just, you know, took his axe and flew into a rage, right? Very colorful cases. I guess we're making them a little more colorful. But, what do they call it? Microaggression now? Or maybe this isn't micro, maybe it's just stomach aggression.
Doesn't sound like this.
Not micro.
No.
No. Got it. Road rage? No. So, so this is very Hareu Patur Aleim Bim Shar Mechavana Afilu Echis and Bala Kadim Shalom Pesar Rizachayev L'Shal V'chein Kiyotz says the Ravid Amr Avram Efshal Adin Zek Kishalom Nasan Rishos L'Malos. He said, okay, if he didn't do it on purpose and he's going in and out and he didn't give the guy permission, Aval Nasan Rishos L'Malos she should be Chayev. Because the Adamu Eliolam. Meaning, this is the Ravid L'Shitaso. It didn't have to be this. Meaning, there are three cases in which the Rambam, even though he holds Adamu Eliolam, still thinks you're Patur. One is Makar B'dei Shemayim, right? The Sulam case. The second one is Hiziku Zebazeh, right? Birushus Shehu. They're on equal footing. And the third case is this case, where Mile Chavios Bechatzer Chavero, Birshus, but Belish Shmira, right? Vyotze Kedark, Vinichnas Vyotze Kedarko. So in all three of these cases, the Rambam says, Odom Uadiolam. All three of these cases, the Rambam says, Potter. Because in all three of these cases, in my opinion, the Rambam will tell you, that's not a Maisa Hezek. If I didn't take Shmira upon myself, just going to let him put his barrels there, I'm Yotze Kedark. It's called going in and out of your home. The Mashalim Ad Over Dome, I mean, you have it in Hilchos Shabbos, in some Rishonim too, in some of the Psik Reisha cases, or cases, like, you know, a person goes in and out of his house, you know, so he has to, how much does he have to check? You know, that there's some fly didn't, something didn't come into his house for Tzad, or you know, or vice versa. Meaning the natural, the famous Rajba and Shulti Giborim, when you do things naturally, sometimes, again, it might depend on the circumstance. Here it's also Birshusa. We're not saying that if he was in Birshusa Rab, you could have said that in Birshusa Rabim too, frankly. But the Rabim doesn't say that. Yeah.
I understand the right that, is the fact that he let him fill the barrel means that he accepted shear on them or not?
No.
So what's the difference? Adamu
Adiolam. He allowed them there.
Why is that any different than putting empty barrels there?
What do you mean, empty barrels?
He had empty barrels, he doesn't have a problem with it.
Barrels, empty, not empty, who cares whether... What do you mean, empty barrels?
In all cases, he gave permission to fill the barrels.
No, to fill his...
To enter.
yards with barrels. No, it's not, we don't care what's in the barrel. Right? It's the barrels take up space, and he is, when he comes in and out, he smashes into the barrel. He breaks the barrel. Yeah.
What is the Ravid saying? Is the Rambam said, I feel like Nisan Birishus.
He said if they were there illegally, since he didn't have any intention to destroy them, then that's fine. That's Pater. That's Shalom B'Chavana. Right? But if they're there legally, even if you didn't take Shmira over them, then why isn't that on the Mu'l and the Ola?
But he says,
the Malos, not the barrels. Right? To the Malos, the Chatzar.
Yeah, but
the
Rambam says,
I
feel Chnisim B'Rishus. So he says
he's disagreeing with the Rambam. What's the problem? The Rambam says, as long as the guy had permission,
he's Pater.
And the Rambam says, even though he had permission,
right.
if he's nichnas v'yotze kedarko, I think the Rambam didn't chap or didn't care about the kedarko, mm-hmm. Right? That's not called mazik. That's called entering your home or entering your property. Okay. Right? Now again, if he was mekabel shmira, that's something else. And the Rambam says no, adamu
diola. Yeah. I don't know if I was alluding to this. Kim lechalik between Mishnah and
Gemara,
but it's just Rabban versus Shane Bershus.
Could be. Yeah, very much, very poth, very. Very
poth.
Right, right. No, 100%. I just want to get into all that right now, but 100%, that is. Okay, so one other thing, two other things before we go. One thing is the Lechem Mishnah. I don't know if we mentioned it last time. Yeah, I think we did, right? Did we talk about the tour? We did? Okay, great. So the tour is another, the possibility of being Chalik in Chovel and Mazek. Right? Talk about that? Okay, good. So the only thing I want to add then is the Nebuke Yose. Okay, that we didn't discuss last time, right? So we have these, we have the Bali Tosas, who are very, very lenient about Adamu Adiyahu. Right? Essentially, if I were the Bali Tosas, I would, be very reticent to adopt the slogan Adamu Adiyahu. Okay? Because all it really means is that something more than Poshea you're chayev for. Okay? We have the other Rishonim. Let's say the most extreme that we're encountering is the Ravid. Right? And then a notch lower, and I don't think it's much more than a notch lower, is the Rambam and the Ramban, who admit of some exceptions, but probably because they think that they're not Maisa Hezek. Their aga, their nezek that takes place, or hefsin that takes place, aga of other things, but it's not defined al pidin as a maisa hezek. But anytime you have a real maisa hezek, even shalom b'chavana, even b'ones, even b'nesasek, you're chai. So then you have the Nebuke Yosef in between. So look here, line, page 3, line 7. The Nebuke Yosef. This is a later one. I don't know why I put it in backwards, but Linyan Nezak, I guess it's more pithy. Line 8, Linyan Nezakin Chayiv, meaning Adamu Ad Leolam, right, and Nafa Baruach, She'ena Mitzuya Linyan Nezakin Chayiv, To Israbi Ones Kiratzon, Kedipirashnal El, as I said before, the Lav Ones Gamurhu. What's the Nebuke Yosef addressing? What are the cases? The Rabban said there are two cases that prove that even Ones Gamor is Chayev and Onam Amazik. One case is Ruach She'ina Mitzuya, because the Rabban said that was Sa'ara. That was Ruach Shel Eliyahu Anavi. Okay? That's his language, not mine. It's great language. But. The other one, he says, is what I call the Besaseh case. When a man's sitting there, there's an Eben Munach Al Cheiko, he doesn't know about it, and he gets up and boom, destruction follows. Right? Very graphic stuff. Okay. So, basically, but the Nebuke, again, the Bali Tosas and anybody who just, who take the opposite view have to moderate these cases. Obviously, they think the Masase case isn't so such an onus, and the Rosh Hashanah Mitzuyah case is not such an onus. So that's what the Mukhi Yosef says here. He says the din of onus karatzon doesn't apply to onus gomor. So what about Becheko? So that's what he says. He boile lemechash shemezadavar niach Becheko. The shachov shemiipo. When a person stands up, he should always be aware, you know, and attentive, mindful, I guess, that his that when he stands up, you know, he's not causing destruction. Okay? So that's not onus. But what's fascinating about the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, what's different about the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef? It's Balitosis. No, it's not Balitosis. Because he distinguishes between onus gomor and something less. The Balitosis don't even require onus gomor. Even onus on the level of Aveda, even onus on the level of Geneva, which is only karov really laonus, is enough. So look at the, he says the la'el, what's the la'el? So look at number 10 or 11. Avol nezek nafkala miribuya l'chayv afila onus afila ba'ones, right? L'chayv even ones who b'shogeg di'i b'mezid ha'ksiv ha'in tachzayin l'chayv b'nezek. Therefore, aiti tachas b'petza tachas patza l'revuye da'afila ba'ones who b'shogeg chayv b'nezek l'gabe nezek ksiv. Miu, says the Mukhi Yosef, ba'ones da'amaron d'chayv Benezek, Hainu Sheina Onus Gomor Mamish. That is not a full fledged onus. Kagon Hoyslav and Becheko, Hapishloi Kirbamilim Shundi Boile Mechash, Shema, Hiniach Ezidover Becheko Vishocho. Exactly what he says later. Havel Onus Gomor, Kagon Hodi Rushalmi, Shevachaver Vyoshin, Etzlo, Patur, Kidamaran, Rachmana, Patre, Dechsivil, and Narul Asasadavar. Ah, this is interesting. He quotes Olenarul Asasadavar. Right, nimsa delina dal dvarim lo mechayv alikashu poshea gomor betchila ubesof. Right, umefarish begomar mahasim nezegin arba dvarim, etc. It sounds like the Mukhi Yosef holds a middle shita in between that of the Balitosis and the Rambam Ravid Rambam, and that is that if you had a level of onus presumably like Geneva, you'd be chayev for Adam Uliola. But what you're punter for is an ones which qualifies ulanara losasa davar. Ones rachmana patre. So the question is how to assess that. And I think that there are two ways you could go. Meaning, one way to learn the Mukhi Yosef is that he holds like the Balitosis, right? But he's a little more machmir. Meaning, the way we explained Balitosis was how come the Balitosis are so undemanding, right, in terms of Adam Bo'ad Liola. That's why they're so forgiving. Even an Ones Kain Geneva is Patur. The answer is, and again, I think many explain it this way, that, you know, they took very literally the language of the Gemara, which was that Adam, and Da'odam would base, right, that Adam Mazik is based on Shmiras Atzmo. So the point is that maybe the Hagdara, how you define Shmiras Atzmo, is a little different than Shmiras Behemto. But at the end of the day, you know, there are reasonable things that we expect of people, and that's what's Koveya Shmiras Atzmo. And if he did that, he should be Pater. So he thinks, the Balitosis think, right, that threshold is Ones of Gneva. Anything more than Ones Geneva, you're potter for. And then Mukhi Yosef, according to this perspective, says the same idea. The Mechayev of Adam HaMazik is Shmiras Atzmo, and that's why Ones Gomor is potter, because that's not a violation of Shmiras Atzmo. Onar L'Sasa Davar. The only thing they disagree with Balitosis is saying not Ones Kain Geneva. Onus, real onus. Onus Oladana Sasadav. They have a higher threshold. Or is it a Mukhi Yosef in the camp of the Rambam, the Ravid, and the Ramban? Meaning, what he really holds is that the Mechayiv of Adam HaMazik is not Shmiras Atzmo, I mean lack of Shmiras Atzmo, it's Maisa Hezek. Now, the burden is in the other direction. It's not to prove you were personally negligent. It's to prove, or it's somehow, again, the default is you did it, and therefore you should pay for it. We don't want to hear why you did it, what the extenuating circumstances are. You did it. Aye, so why is onus gomer patur? Why should there be a patur if it's maisa hezek? So here we get into a whole other topic, which I'm just going to touch on, and that is, when we say, do we also mean, is that just a patur tashlumin, right, or chiyuvim, or is that also a way of saying that an action done in a state of anus is not legally attributable to the person? Now, just like we talked about very briefly, the question of misasek, we're talking about Rav Kiveger, right, and others, right, whether misasek is considered to be a maisavera, right, or a maisavera with a patur, or whether or not it's just not considered a maisavera. I mean, physically, of course, he did it, but I mean, legally, it's not called a maisa because it was done in a state of, lack of awareness. So too, the question can be asked: misasek is he's. It's inadvertent. He's doing X and Y happens. Or he's, X just happens. Onus is not that, but onus is a situation where it's out of his control. Right? And the extenuating circumstances of onus maybe not just absolve him typically of onesh or chiyuv or responsibility, maybe they constitute, right, a basis for hafkas hamaisa. In which case, even if you take the view that Adam hamazik is chayev because of the maisa hezek, what we're suggesting is when you have an onus gamur, maybe onus has the ability to cancel the maisa hezek legally. Now again, if you were going to take the Balei Tosfos threshold, that even onus ke'ein geneva is enough, can't say that onus kain geneva is not a maisa. Right. You might say, again, you're not a violation of shmiras atma. But once, right, you make the distinction onus gamur of kol tara kula and anything less than that, then it's possible that we're dealing with hafkasa maisa. So this, of course, is a very, very big topic. People who learned Ksuvis or other things will recognize that it's a very big topic and issue. Just to mention very quickly, Hilchos Tshuva is a good place to start. A person does an Avera Ba'ones. Is he chayv to do Tshuva? So it's a big issue. In the Al-Chaitz, of course, we have Ba'onis. The thing with the Al-Chaitz, as I sometimes mentioned before Yom Kippur, is that they're very comprehensive, very, very extensive. Shockingly so. In the sense that, number one, the fact that everybody goes through all the Al-Chaitz, unless you think it's just like a, Shelo Yizbayesh, Yechidim, or just to make sure, or you just don't know. But, it's very hard for one person to violate all those skatai. At least I think it's pretty hard. So, but in addition to that, some of these skatai are pretty exotic. So you just wonder, is the list of al-chaits really a list of things that you mentioned for tshuva? Or that has more to do, that particular vidui, it's more about, tikkun ha-ma'asim, it's kind of like a wish list, or it's kind of a method of, self-appraisal, right? It's not really, you're clopping, right. So I think these are things to consider about. Certainly, ba'ones is on that list. But in general, there's discussion of the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos, you have to look at the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva. There's a whole discussion about this, whether you really are obligated to do tshuva for a chait that was done, ba'ones. In the world of Tanai, of course, this is a very important issue. Some years ago, we learned Ksuvis. Comes up in the beginning of Ksuvis. In the beginning of Ksuvis, the Gemara discusses the problem of Tanai ba'ones, yesh onus b'tanai. Meaning a person committed, you know, to a certain course of action, you know, conditionally. And let's say fulfilling or abrogating, you know, the conditions that dictate this obligation, you know, involved an onus. He says in Lo Bossi Ad Shloshim Yom, right, Hareat Megureshet, says if I don't come back, you know, in X amount of time, then this is a get. He doesn't want to leave her stranded. Okay? He doesn't want to leave her in Aguna. So let's say that's the famous case in the Gemara. Let's say he can't make it back, but the reason he can't make it back is because the bridge is down, and he's screaming on the other side, Chazid Asoy, Chazid Asoy. Another graphic, you know, Gemara. Like you can literally see him there, you know. Right. So that's a case where there's Kiyum Hatnai Al Yedei Ones. It's in that context where the Rishalmi actually uses the expression, not just, you know, Ones Rachmana Patre, which refers to a Patur, which is what the Bavli uses, but the Rishalmi discusses whether Ones is Keman De Ovid or Keman De Lo Ovid. A debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. You have to look at the Gersos there also. The Ran in the third parak of Kiddushin picks up on this idea, and some of the other Rishonim in Ksuvis and so on. Meaning, you can have all sorts of interesting circumstances. Let's say you have a Kiyum Atnai that fulfills a Maisa, like the one I mentioned, Im Lo Bossi Ad Shloshim Yom, right, Hare Zeget. So the Kiyum Atnai is Lo Bossi, not coming. Right? He's staying away. But he only stayed away because the bridge was out. So his staying away, his fulfillment of the tie is ba'onis. Right? And the question is that constitute a fulfillment of the tanai or not? But let's say it was the opposite. Let's say it wasn't kiyum atanai al yidei ones, it was e kiyum atanai al yidei ones. Let's say he said, not in lob, Bossi, it says in Bossi ad shloshim yom or tok shloshim yom hareza get, and the bridge fell down. Okay, this we don't usually speak about that case because it doesn't make any sense, or mostly it doesn't make sense. Right? He says if I come back, we'll be divorced, and so we'll stay married if I stay away. That doesn't usually make sense, but well, let's say that's what happened, and let's say so then you have. Not kiyum atnai al yedei ones, but basically e kiyum atnai, or you can call it bitul atnai al yedei ones. You know, they always they like it's an old joke. You know, in discussions of ones, whether it's command isa or command avad, you know, they say that you know if a person you know is an amaretz because he, you know, because all of his life he had owned sim, you know, so that still doesn't make him a talmid chacham. You know, that even if you say onus is keman da'avid, you know, you still have to open up the Rambam sometime and look at it. So that's an interesting question, right? What, when it's relevant to speak about the legality or the formal implementation of an action, and that action was done ba'ones, whether it qualifies or not. So there's an interesting discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban about this as well. And then we'll move on. But in the Rambam and Ramban, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, and again in Sefer HaMitzvos, I think it's Reish, Lo Sase Reish Pei, discuss umdina that we discussed, I believe, last year, but they also discuss ones, right? Ein bezdin, this is perek chaf halacha aleph and beis. Ein bezdin onshin ba umdina das. Okay, LLP edim beraya brura. That's an issue. It's called yedia below reiya, circumstantial evidence, right? We know it happened, but we didn't see it. Halacha basis kol mi she'asa davar shechayavin aleph misa. Bezdin ba'ones, right? Ein bezdin mimisinoso. Person violated a capital crime, right? And he did it ba'ones, or under duress, right? He was coerced, whatever, accidentally. So the Rambam says, ein bezdin mimisinoso. Then he adds, we'll get to this in a second, afilo hayu mitzuva sheyaharig val yavor. Okay? Meaning there can be two scenarios. One is he's an onus, and he's mechal Shabbos ba'onus. The other is that somebody puts a gun to his head and says, gili arayus avod azar shvichos dam. Okay, in one case he's supposed to give up his life, the second case. In the first case, he's not. The Rambam says about both of these cases that ain bezin b'misin also. Av b'shechilu las Hashem, even in the second case, hol v'hu onus, eno nerag sh'nama l'nar l'sas adamar, zu azhor l'bezin sh'leyon sh'o onus. What's interesting about this Rambam is the two things, but one thing is that the Rambam says it's an azhor l'bezin. It's a lot, it's an iser. So, and he counts it in Binyan HaMitzvos. So the Ramban, in his commentary in Binyan HaMitzvos, says it shouldn't be counted in Binyan. It's a fact. It's not an Azara. So the question is, what does the Ramban mean? When he says it's a fact, and therefore you shouldn't count it. Some people think that what he means is that, Lunar al-Sasadavar means like the Yerushalmi says, right? Onus is keman d'lo'avid. So you don't need a lav in the Torah to tell Bezdin not to punish you. You didn't really do anything in the end of the day, legally, formally. Some people think that the debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether you should count, the din of Azhara l'dayanim lo la'anosh be'ones as a lav or not, that gufa is the argument about, how to understand. Is onus a p'tur or onus is a kafka asmai sade? Others think, no, that the Ramban doesn't even have to go that far. Maybe the idea of the Ramban is not that he didn't do the maisadeira, but it's still not an azhara, it's just a fact. I mean, there's no... Even if you did the maisadeira, but if you did the maisadeira but onus, you're not chayim. So what's the azhara on the dayanit? Anyway, it's interesting. The Rambam is curious... Because again, if he would think that onus is not a ma'isa aveira at all, it is strange, that you have to tell the dayanim. But maybe the fact that he, and this is true in Sefer Mitzvos as well, he brings two scenarios. One is a case of onus where there's also heter, meaning you're not supposed to override the onus. I mentioned the example of Chilul Shabbos. Right, your violation of Chilul Shabbos, but ba'ones. Right? Let's say it's pikuach nefesh, I don't know. Or somebody puts a gun to your head. It's also pikuach nefesh. But it's also curious that the Rambam mentions the Gimel Averos. Because in the Gimel Averos, you are supposed to rise to the occasion. So let's assume this Rambam, maybe, I'm not 100% sure that it's true either, but likely it implies that onus, like would you have to tell the dayanim not to impose the onesh, if the din was that the ones is not considered an aveira? Of course the ones, of course I can't be manish somebody who's not responsible for the aveira. Right? So I'm saying is maybe the point of the Rambam is, that's why he mentions the Harig Vayavar cases. It's hard to say in the Harig Vayavar cases that he didn't do the Ma'is Aveira. He's supposed to give up his life. Except even that's a little tricky. Unless you say that his obligation to give up his life, right, is not for the Avodah Zarah, the Gilei Arayos, or the Shekhoz Damim, but for the Kiddush Hashem. Right. Which may be the Rambam's view. It's a little tricky. He says here, Afa b'shechil las Hashem, hol v'hu anus, eino nerin. I mean, the Rambam's view is that even in Yoharig v'ayavar cases, there's a p'tur anus, in terms of the onish. There are those who disagree with the Rambam, by the way. It's a minority view. I mean, it's 2 days in Tosis in Sanhedrin, Samech Aleph, and Beis. Gemara speaks about Ha'oved Me'aba Me'ira, the debate between Rav and Abaya. So we say Ha'oved Me'aba Yira is Pater. So the Bali Tosas asks in Sanhedrin and in Shabbos Ayin Beis also that Samech Aleph on Beis in Sanhedrin. So the Rishonim ask, why is he Pater? Oved Me'aba, isn't that about a Zara? Isn't that one of the Gimel Averos? Should be Chayav Yarek Vayavar. So Tosas gives two answers to this question. One is, no, it isn't really Avodah Zarah. It's like the Tzelem of Haman. or whatever, you know, that, you know, or bowing down to Haman or whatever it is, meaning to, no one takes it seriously, it isn't a real Avodah Zarah, that's one answer. The implication being, but if it was, if it was a din of Yarig Vayavar, and you didn't rise to the occasion, then you would face the Onesh Bezdin for it. The second day of Tosas, probably the more dominant view, is that no, there is Yarig Vayavar, but that's not what we're talking about. He's still an Onus, right? His Chiyuv is Yarig Vayavar, but he doesn't get the Onesh of Misa for that. That's the view of the Rambam. That's the view of the Ramban. However, it's not, one view of Tosas is different, and Rabbi David Bonfil, quoted in the Ran, in Sanhedrin, and Ein Dalanamid Beis, and the Uraim, I mean, there's a group of Rishonim, not such a large group, but there is a group that thinks that whenever there's Yehoreg Vayavar, there is not only no Heter Pikuach Nefesh, but no Ptur Onesh Onus either. Anyways, why am I telling you all this? Without going into more detail, but just because I'm trying to illustrate that there's an interesting general debate about whether onus is considered to be a ma'isa aveir. I'll give you one other example, again, related to the Avodah Zarah case.
You need kapara.
What? For onus? For ma'isa onus? That's the question. I'm saying there's al-chet. But the whole al-chet, I'm not sure. Do you really need tshuva and kapara for a ma'isa that you did bonus? I'm not talking about Yehoreg Vayavar. What?
By Shabbos.
Shabbos. Not so clear.
You need kapara.
Yeah? How do you know? You may not need kapara for misasek, and you may not need kapara for onus. Right? That's the question. So the there's an interesting sugya in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Nun Daled, and that's regarding a nevad. Right? Let's say you were over in Avodah Zarah, ba'ones. The Gemara wants to know whether the object that you worshipped Al-Pidin becomes a Nevad or not. And again, it's fascinating. If you look at the Rishonim there, the Balei Tosis, the Ramban, the Ritva, in Avodah Zarah, they all wonder, what is the relationship between this question? How does this fit in to the discussion of Yehoreg Vayavar? And they say different things about it. Meaning there's a Mandamar that he's a Nevad, that it's the animals, the object or the animal would be a Nevad. Right? How could it be a Nevad if, according to the Mandama Rabbi Shmuel, for example, who says that you're supposed to be Yavor Val Yehoreg, how can it be a Nevad? And mostly they're concerned in the other direction. How can it not be a Nevad, according to that Mandama, if there's a Chi of Yehoreg Val Yavor? Right? So that's an interesting question, whether or not the Chepza as a Nevad is contingent upon the obligation of Yehoreg Vayavar, of the Gavra, of the Avarya. Again, if it's Midin Kiddush Hashem, and not Midin Avodah Zarah, then that's a very easy answer. Right? Then there's probably no Nevad. But part of the question is, another, do we consider this a Maisa Avodah Zarah or not? But also you might be able to distinguish between Maisa, the Maisa, and the Cheftz, meaning Mitzad Maisa HaGavra, maybe that's one answer, maybe not, easier to say not. But mitzad achetzah shel Avodah Zarah, I mean, was it, did somebody bow down to it? Okay, it wasn't you. I mean, it was you, but it wasn't, you know, the legal you. But you know, somebody was, you know, saying hymns and throwing, you know, incense and being poer lepor and, you know, and zorek lemarkalis. So, like, something was going on there. Okay. Anyways, without going into further detail, all I'm trying to say is that even if you take the view of the Rambam, David, that other Mudiolam Chayiv is the Maisa Hezek, right? You still might be able to sustain the view of the Mukhe Yosef that Ones Gomor is Poter, not as a Ptur, but as a Hafkoas Maisa Hezek. Of course. Again, this depends on everything we discuss. There's also one other wrinkle, and that is whether something is mufka from being a maisa avera, and whether it's mufka from being a maisa hezek might be two different things, right? Maisa avera has a certain, again, formal legal status. It could be the whole point of maisa hezek is that it's much more pragmatically defined, meaning by its consequence. not so much by the tsura or the, therefore, the background of being an act of volition, you know, a choice, you know, and so on. Okay. Anyways, so much for that. I see we're... let me just start the next topic so we'll know that we're on it. And then, yeah.
A little story from Lord Jacobowitz.
Sure. I was just going to say, does anybody have a story from...
No, he went to work in Dublin.
Yeah.
And Yom Kippur time, he never understood that people are clapping a whole day al chait. And the moment Yom Kippur is over, it's business.
Back to usual.
Yeah. What did they accomplish? He never understood it. But one day he was walking in the market, he saw, he passed by a grocer, and the woman was filling up a bag of flour. And as it got fuller and fuller and fuller, she started punching and banging to make room for more. Then he understood why they were clapping.
Very good. That's beautiful. Okay. So the next topic that we're going to do, I guess we really shouldn't start, but we'll... That just to explain, just one line also. The Gemara here on Gimel and Beis talks of the next candidate is Eish. So just give me 1 minute and just to introduce the topic, and then we'll see what happens you know, next week, I guess. But the Gemara says, turns its attention to Eish. It says, the Ella told the Mava Kimava, Gimel and Beis, but he come around, Papa told the Eish. Maybe Eish is not Kiyotzebo, says the Gemara. Tolda de Eish, my Nia. What is the Tolda de Eish? Ah. Ilei ma'avonos ha'kino maso shenichem b'rosh gago. You have an object, and you place it, you know, in a place, you put it somewhere in a location, in other words, where it is likely to be carried by the wind, right? V'nafla b'ruach mitzuya, a regular wind, v'ziko. So the Gemara says, "Hey Chadam, ibahadi de kaazli, de azli kamazki." If the damage takes place as the wind is blowing it, as it's being subject to the koach of the ruach, haynu eish, ma'ishna eish de koach acham urabo, u'mamon chos shmarasan alecha, haninami koach acham urabo, mamon chos shmarasan alecha. Right, because that's what eish is. Eish is right something that you. You know, are responsible for locating in a vulnerable place, or the place where it can do danger, right? And then harnessing, I guess, or integrated with the power of the wind, or koach acher meurabo. Okay, Ella told the eish is keish. Yichi kamar papa told the rent. Okay, so what I want to do next time that we talk about Bava Kama is to skip to the Gemara here on Chaf Bey Samad Aleph. Well, the Gemara has the famous argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. I'm just going to read three lines as to what I want to be thinking about. And then we'll go through that Gemara and then some others. The Gemara here says as follows. If you see at the two dots, five lines down, or the sixth line down, on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Itmar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Esha Mishum Chitza. Rish Lakish Amar Esha Mishum Mamon. This is the major famous debate. Rabbi Yochanan is the opinion that Eish is considered to be like Chitzei Ha'adam. Just like you shoot an arrow, so when you light an Eish. Not a perfect mashal, as Reish Lakish will tell you. And Reish Lakish is the opinion that an Eish is like a property. Right? You have to guard your shore, you have to guard your Eish. But it's not that the Eish is an extension of your own action, as opposed to Eish Mishum Chitza, which means that it's an extension of your action. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish my tam alomak Rabbi Yochanan. I'm just going to introduce these two lines. What did Rabbi Yochanan, what did Reish Lakish think was lacking in Rabbi Yochanan's view of Eishim Shem Chitzav? So the Gemara, Amalach, Chitzav mikoach, mikocho rather ka'azli. Hai lo mikocho ka'azo. Eish, I'm sorry, koach, Chitzav is literally fully an expression of man's force. Right? As you shoot an arrow, it's your energy, right, that is carrying this arrow to the end. But when it comes to Eish, Eish spreads mimela, right? And you might add, b'koach achar b'ur, often b'koach achar b'urabo. As you light the match here, and then the fuel carries it, mimela, and in some cases the wind, you know, carries it, and that is not. Neither of those are koach adam, especially the wind, and therefore that's not exactly chitza. Rabbi Yochanan by Tamei Amar lo Amar Koresh Lakish. Why did Rabbi Yochanan allow? Not like the view of Esher Mishum Mamona. Amalach Mamona ispe Mamasha. Hi leispe Mamasha. Okay. So what I wanted, in other words, again, a shore and even a bore are something substantial, and Esh is more amorphous. So what I want to try to examine is how a mutually exclusive are these mandamrim. And how extreme part of this question that I'm asking, how big a gap is there between these two perspectives? Part of it seems like enormous. It seems like, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Eishem Shem Chitzav is like Adam Amazik. Chitzav is Adam Amazik, right? Maybe a Tolda. We talked about whether Kichov and Neo, you know, in Zorek, whether the Toldos or Avot, but either way, it's still Adam Amazik. So Rabbi Yochanan holds Eishem Shem Chitzav is Adam Amazik. Just curious, in the Mishnah, we have Eish. We're not sure if we have Adam. Either way, it's a problem, right? If we don't have Adam, it's because we kept it out intentionally, but we have Eish. And if we do have Adam, we have Adam twice. Some of the Shonim Shin Mekubetzes, and also Pnei Yeshua, asked this question. The Rambam put the dinam of Eish in Ukkel Siske Mamon. Right? In the end of Niske Mamon. But in Niske Mamon. And he put the dinam of Adam Amazik in Ukkel Schovel. Right? So this is something. We'll have to see where the sheet is. Meaning, when you say Eishem Shem Chitzav, how literally do you take it? Or another way to say this is, when Reish Lakish said, this isn't exactly Chitzav, right? What did Rabbi Yochanan answer? Did he say, I know the difference, but it's unimportant, legally it's Chitzav? In which case, you can make a good case for everything I just said. Why not put it in Nuchas Chovel? Why isn't it the same as Mava? Or did Rabbi Yochanan say to Reish Lakish, I know, I agree, I think that this difference is significant, I still think that Esher is Mishum Chitzav. And similarly, when Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, this isn't Bor, and it certainly isn't Shor, because it's Leis Be Mashasha, meaning, you know, the idea of Niske Mamon is when some cheftza that you're responsible for damages, but Eish isn't a cheftza. Right? So Reish Lakish really believes fully that Eish is Mishum Mamono, that even though Leis Be Mashasha, right, it still doesn't matter and it's the equivalent of Shor and Bor? Or he too agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's assessment and says, I know, and it isn't a typical Niske Mamon. Right, it is something different, just not chitza. In which case, what I'm suggesting is that there are two perspectives. One is that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are fundamentally, in an extreme way, at odds about how they understand Eish. Or is the difference between them, notwithstanding the language, much more subtle? Because each one recognizes the other's point. In the Maskana of the Gemara, what we're going to see is that the Gemara doesn't think that Rabbi Yochanan necessarily excludes Eishem Mishum Mamono, and there we'll have to try to figure out whether a mandamar who believes that there are two types of Eishes, what that does, same kind of question, for either of the Eishes. Another way to say that, is Rabbi Yochanan's Eishem Mishum Mamono Lamaskana, we'll get to Maskana, the same as Reish Lakish's? And is his Chitzav revised in the end of the Gemara when he's acknowledging that there's also Mamona? Okay, so that's food for thought to be continued.